Chapter 2, the original blueprint, 2024. Well, why don't I just use the one from 2023? Because it ain't 2023, it's 2024. Well, why don't I just use the one from 2020? Same answer, okay? So let's talk about the original blueprint. Woo! What is that? The original blueprint of you, what you were supposed to be, what you are gonna be. Well, that's kind of up to you, isn't it? Chapter 2, the original blueprint. Do you want to know the best you? Do you want to know what it is? Do you want to know the worst you to date? Right? You want to know the, well, you do know the worst you, don't you? You do know the worst you. I'm very familiar with the worst me. Don't you want to know the best you? Do you think God meant for you to be mediocre? No, he did not. Did he mean for you to be unhappy? No, he did not, and he does not. Did he mean to give you gifts that you won't need or use? No, he did not do that. Did he give somebody else more gifts than you? There is no point in asking such silly questions. God is God and you are you. What he gave you will make you great. Now stop thinking like that and get your head in the game. Luke 22, 24. This is the apostles had the same problem, by the way. Get this. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet am I among you as the one who serves? And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, so that you may eat and drink in my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What does that mean? It means that Jesus was saying to his own apostles, quit worrying about which one's the most important. We're all working together here. And by the way, I am the one serving. So you might think the guy sitting at the table is the guy being served. He must be more important than the server. Not so. Jesus is saying, I serve. And I'll tell you how to be in heaven. Philippians 3:14, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Should we not know what's going on here? Well, we don't. We always wonder who's important and am I important? The original blueprint of you, 2024, who is it? You know, it's hard to know this original blueprint. It's not for sissies, this original blueprint thing. How many people get it? Not many. You ever buy anything from IKEA? Yeah, it comes with instructions, right? I can't figure them out. Everybody I talk to laughs. I can't figure them out either. Right? It looks like the instructions were made for somebody different, and it even looks like it's a different product. You got the wrong instructions. Hey, same as the Bible. I need God in the Bible to explain it to me. I also need God with IKEA instructions, right? The Bible is confusing without God. I need God with the Bible, and I need God with the instructions of me. I need God to help me decide what I do with the gifts he's given me, because otherwise I will use them for stupid instead of awesome, or I'll just set them to the side and think I don't need them. I'm going to use this gift because I don't need this. This one doesn't make me any money. Crazy thinking that we do, but we do it. Of course, we all do it. But God did not plan for you to figure out what he gave you and you can pick and choose. He figured for you to use it all. Well, how are you going to do that? How do you know that's true? Hey, man, have faith with a capital F. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were born. Well, what's that got to do with my balance sheet? What? You see, we start thinking right away. What's that got to do with my job today? What? We start thinking right away. So many challenges get in the way of the original blueprint because the challenge is the testimony. The challenge itself, what you're going through right now, is your testimony. And that testimony, if you're on this phone, is the testimony of a winner who overcomes the challenges of life. Are they challenges? It's a classroom teaching you how to be used as a leader in the Lord, with the Lord, because of the Lord, for the Lord. Well, wait a minute, Pat, before you said all that stuff about the Lord, overcome what? You see, our brains get in the way. Selfish ambition. It's a real drag on greatness. Selfish ambition gets in the way of greatness. Did you hear what I said? Selfish ambition. It's a real drag on greatness. Greatness is achieved in the humility of God's chores for me and you. Did you hear what Jesus said in that scripture? I'm serving you at the table. He's the server. He's the help. He's also God of the universe. And he's humbling himself with the chores of today, as you should as well. Not waiting on God. Your business suffers because of selfish ambition. Not waiting on God means just that. Your timing is not God's timing. You are impatient. And you'll do anything to get out of trouble. Do whatever you got to do, because man's got to do what he's got to do. He's got to do it right now. You are impatient. Causes problems. God is long-suffering. To put up with me and my shenanigans, he is very patient and long-suffering. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. If you think you're working for God, it gets easier for you to listen for God and to ask him what he wants you to do and to be patient and to sit still sometimes instead of taking the action. I got to move. I got to do. I got to get something done. I got to get a hard money lender to do it. I got to get a partner. I got to do it right now. That stuff gets some people in trouble. I understand that I am corruptible. I understand that. I am corruptible. God is not. If I am corruptible, what do you think my business will be like? I need him to keep me solid. The enemy is real, hates you, and the original blueprint of you and what God wants for you. Yeah, it gets in the way. The enemy really hates you. He wants to blow up the original blueprint of you because God made it. He hates God, he hates you, he hates everything. Why? Well, read about him. He's done some dumb things that cost him eternity. His schemes, if listened to, waste valuable time. They throw a traveler like you or me off course, cause pain, fear, terror. And most importantly, the enemy causes doubt in everything you are and everything you do. Doubt is never of God. Doubt is of the devil. Caution is of the Holy Spirit. Caution and fear is without knowledge. Fear is not of God. Caution is not fear. Caution is with information. In the case of fear, go get the information. And be discerning about where and who you get it from. God inspires you to win. He inspires you to be with people that are winners. The devil inspires you to lose. Hear what I have to say, my friends. God inspires you to win. The devil inspires you to lose. Discernment is from the Holy Spirit, and cautious is what you should be when making decisions. Draw from Scripture. The experiences of your life with God giving you inspiration to move this way or that. You see, you are talking to someone who has done what you are doing and overcome. But I couldn't do that by myself. I did it with God. And I must tell you that whatever you think you're going through right now, it pales in comparison to what I have done. And God saved me. And when you hear John talk to you, you wonder where he gets that knowledge and that wisdom? He lived it. He lived it. Don't listen to that voice in your head that says, you're missing out. You better move quickly. You're missing out, I tell you. You better hurry up. Ooh, you're getting behind. Ooh. In that moment, stop. Don't move. Talk to the Lord. In discernment, he's put people around you that know what they're doing. They've been through this dance before. You've heard that song, The Dance with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight? Boy, I got to tell you, we're all living it sometimes, aren't we? But you don't have to do that. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Who is that, you or your children? Buck up, kids. You got to take care of your children. Be an example, even if they're grown up. Most importantly, take care of the gifts that God has given you so you can continue on the path and find out who you are. What's the difference between a blessing and a trap? A blessing and a trap look the same up front. Oh, I'll give you a hard money and percentage. It'll help your business out. Trap. Blessing. You're going to have to reorganize your business. It ain't going to be easy. But up front, they look like a bit of the same. Both of them are going to help. One of them easy, one of them not. A blessing is of God, and it teaches three things. A blessing is of God, and it teaches three things. One, the direction of the Holy Spirit. Two, the knowledge of God that is received on this path. And three, it yields what is necessary every time, all the time. Let me say those again. One, the direction of the Holy Spirit. Two, the knowledge of God that is received on the path. And three, it yields what is necessary every time, all the time. Well, that sounds pretty good. Why don't we do it? I do not know. I do not know. I stand and look in the mirror and say, what is your problem? The day the mirror starts talking back to me, I guess I better call in for help, right? What's a trap? A trap is set by the devil, and it does three things. One, it wastes time. Two, it gives false hope. And three, it yields hopelessness every time, all the time. God's will is difficult. The devil's is much easier at first. Don't buy it. Take the hard road. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. His glory is revealed through you and your testimony through you. Pray away those things in your mind that don't need to be there. Pray away those things in your mind that don't need to be there. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. Stop on top of the puzzle. No, stay on top. Stop and look around. You know, when you're putting a puzzle together, you got to stop for a second and look at the whole thing. Try to figure out what piece fits where, right? You know, we've all had those jigsaw puzzles, and you just want one of these pieces to fit. You try to cram it in there sometimes. You get so frustrated, right? Never does work, and if it did work, the puzzle would look kind of weird. So on the top of the puzzle, when you can't and you don't know what to do, you stop, don't you? Stop for a second and study what's going on and kind of look it over, right? Well, in the study of you, you got God. Stop. Take a look at the pieces that are on the table. Those pieces are you, and you're putting together that puzzle, and it will create who you are. You'll see what God made in you, and you will be amazed. Keep yourself in order and proceed to the next piece, the next season, the next adventure. Don't compare yourself to others. Keep your eye on the Word with a capital W. Well, I don't have time for all that. Just tell me what to do. I'm telling you what to do. Lest you fall into oblivion, and he must save you again. Without knowledge and wisdom. Well, can't God just give it to me? He says he'll give it to me. He says, I will give you things if you follow me. Follow me means word. The original blueprint of you is the greatest thing for you that you've never thought of. Without the word, he has to save you again and again and again and again and again. Instead of walking with you along the way. The original blueprint of you is the greatest thing for you that you never thought of. I love that. That's great. Matthew 14:27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Remember that one where Peter walks on water? We've all heard of that one. Come on. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, He was afraid and beginning, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Isn't that us? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Isn't that us? "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Isn't that us? He could walk on water with his eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. And who is that? Jesus Christ. He said to Peter, "Why did you doubt?" You started paying attention to all the stuff around you. "Pay attention to me," Jesus said to him. "Run from mediocrity, my friends. Decide to overachieve." "Well, I did, and I got into a lot of trouble." Be patient and wait, because you acted on the trouble. You reacted, reactive management. You want the original blueprint of you? You have to pause. Pause. "I don't have time in the morning to read the book and pray." Pause. Shut up and do it anyway. Shut up your head and sit down and read that book and the commentaries that go with it. Understand what you're reading. Read the commentary. "Well, I read the book. I didn't have time for the commentary." Shut up your head. I'm telling you how to get peace. And peace means that you can hear God and you take direction. It's so hard to do. It's so hard. You can know God all day long. You can know God. But to trust him is an entirely different thing. How do I do that? Stay the course of chores. Chores. And restrict your mind of thoughts of grandeur. "I'll do this and I'll be the best thing ever." Find your way in him and you will find greatness in you. Find your way in him and you will find greatness in you. Why? Because he put it there. He put it there. It's there. Everything you want is there. You're accessing it with your brain, not his. The greatness in you is nothing like you imagined. It's better. It's better. But if he told you about it right now, if he told you about your future right now, you'd probably argue with him, wouldn't you? I would, right? Right? You say, "Well, wait a minute. How's that going to happen? I don't know. Did you hear what that guy said? Oh, my gosh, we're so crazy." Yes, we are. If he told us the future, I'm sure I would argue the point. That is impatient, impertinent, and I will miss the best me ever, 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 ever. How do I know that? The Bible, John 15:16 tells me, "You did not choose me." God says to you, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." He picked you for what I just said. I didn't make that up. I'm just telling you what it says. I didn't make it up. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He prepared you for good works. He prepared him beforehand that we should walk in them. How do you do that? You got to ask him how to teach you to do that. You would not put your five-year-old in a Maserati and say, "Here, kid, I gave you your high school graduation car early. Go ahead, take it away. See you later." And go in and tell his mom, "I gave the five-year-old the car. He'll be back in a little while. I told him to." That's like you and the gifts God has given you. You got to ask God, "How do I do this? Teach me." And how long will it take you to teach that five-year-old to drive? Tell he's 17. Take the time to let God organically make you what you are. Not some kind of a trick. Will you discover the original blueprint of you? Will you? Will you discover it? Will you be able to do this? Will you be able to be patient enough to do this? Find and discover the original blueprint of you that God created before time itself? Here's the harsh reality. I doubt it. Few of us do. I doubt it. I doubt it if I can make it. I doubt it. I'm teaching it, and I doubt if I can make it. Why? Because my head is a dangerous neighborhood. Do not go in there by yourself. We are obsessed with being important and taking control of the steering wheel in every situation when everything is fine or when it isn't fine. When it's fine or it's not fine, we can't leave anything alone. We got to make more, 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 make changes. It ain't good enough. We got to improve. It's crazy, man. And we miss the original blueprint of God. God has been driving people's lives since the beginning of time, if they'll let him. If they'll let him, key phrase there. If we would only listen, which we never do, maybe this lesson will be a reminder. And maybe, just maybe, we will discover ourselves as we ride with the King. And he drives. Think about that, you know, like some 57 Plymouth with the top down or something. Riding with the King. And look over there at the driver's seat, and it's Christ. Jesus Christ is driving the car, and he says, "Hey, man, what's going on? I thought I'd take you over here today. I think we're going to go to the zoo today. I'm going to teach you how to be you." Read the book. It doesn't tell me what to do. It tells me what I'm doing. Isn't that crazy? For me, it doesn't tell me what to do. It tells me what I'm doing. Sometimes it tells me what others have done and what I have done, but mostly it tells me what I'm doing. I mean, sometimes it tells me what others have done, but mostly it tells me what I'm doing, and then it tells me what happened when others have done what I'm doing. Now get this sentence. You know, every once in a while I write a sentence that I think is brilliant, and I need to say it, so I have to say it twice, because I didn't realize that I'm describing what I had to learn how to do. I'm describing what I had to learn how to do. Listen to the book. Have your ears open when your eyes are reading. Listen to the book. Listen to the book. Have your ears open when your eyes are reading. Oh, that was a brain twister for me. Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You got a lot in your favor, man. The original blueprint, you can find it. You have the source inside of you. If you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, you are walking with the Holy Spirit in you, not on the side of you, in you, in you, in you, my friends. In you. And that Holy Spirit is praying for you when you're praying and you don't know what to say. "Lord, I'm confused. I don't get it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Is your will be done? But I don't know if that's your will. I don't know. The Holy Spirit intercedes and tells God exactly what you meant to say. The Holy Spirit is in you. God wants you to win. Over the years, I've seen many torch their future in the name of growth, opportunity, and God. Over the years, I've seen many torch their future in the name of growth, opportunity, and God. It's a very serious matter. Scripture talks the best. It talks the best. Scripture talks. It's the living word of God. It talks. A book that talks. Are you kind of crazy, Pat? Yeah, I'm kind of crazy. But it's better to be crazy in God than it is to be crazy without him. Scripture talks the best for all to recognize the anomaly of a lost future. How many people in that book lost their future? I'm going to tell you one right now that was huge. Lost their future, their destiny, the original blueprint, and all for what? All for stupid. All for stupid. Here's a big one. Loss of original blueprint. Genesis 25:29. There was a couple of brothers here, Jacob and Esau, back in the day. Jacob and Esau. Verse 29, Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, right? His brother came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, his brother, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Well, a crafty brother he had. He said, "Sell me your birthright for the stew. Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." And he did. He swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Esau had given away his birthright. The first son, a birthright. What did he do? A foolish decision to trade a birthright for some red stew. Well, you might be saying, well, he's not hungry anymore. I mean, what did he really trade for? What's the big deal? Years later, in a father's blessing to Esau's brother, Jacob, it was pretty clear what he traded away. He wasn't robbed. He gave it away. His father Isaac laid on his deathbed. He handed down the blessing of God to the second son, not the first. Robbed? He wasn't robbed. He gave it away. This is what he gave away. Oh, dig this. This is what he gave away. This is what that guy gave away. Genesis 27. May God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. The beginning of a nation was given to Esau's brother. He gave it away, smoked it away in the silliness of a bowl of stew. It was the beginning of a nation, Israel. It was the beginning of a nation Esau gave away. Are we any different? One more drink, one more drug, one more inappropriate relationship, one more investment, one more complaint of what I don't have instead of gratitude for what I've been given, one more loan, one more stupid. And we wonder why our businesses fail. They don't. They don't fail. We don't take care of them properly. Why? No scripture. We don't read. You can't lead if you don't read. You understand, kids? It took me a long time to understand. Don't I sound like I'm really preaching from the mountain, right? Like I know everything? It really sounds like that, doesn't it? You know how long it took me before I realized I got to read the book all the time? I'm embarrassed. And now I'm telling you, I'm desperately telling you, don't be like me. Hurry up and get in the book. Why? Without knowledge, you will. Without knowledge and wisdom of this book, you will throw away your life. For a good reason. You'll have a very good reason for doing it. But it won't pay well. Is our country any different? Look what our country is doing right now, taking God out of everything. Not good. Why are we so stupid? Why was I so stupid? Oh, man, I don't know. But I'm glad we're on this phone this morning. Romans 13. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, I wasn't being selfish. I was just trying to get a loan to get that. I was just trying to partner up with. I was just trying to get that. I was just, my wife doesn't get it, you know. We are out of our minds every day. You don't know what God has planned. And even if we did, we couldn't accept how good it would be. Because we can't understand God's mind. I can't understand God's mind. How do I know when I'm teaching people, those who are not interested in the original blueprint? Oh, you may say the quintessential question and reason for chapter 2. Maybe. People who pay attention to the true God in the Bible, basically they do better. Those who don't slip away into the oblivion of self-motivation, self-doubt, self-destruction. I'm sorry, man, it's my story. I've lived it, I've seen it, I'm a witness. I've seen what God's word can do. I've seen it. I see it yesterday. I've seen it for 25, 35 years. I've seen it in other people and in of myself. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me one more time. What might be a better idea? Hebrews 5:12. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. I feel so sorry for pastors in a church, because pastors in a church have new people and old people. They have to preach to both of them. Some of them are new, some of them are old, but some of them are old and they still act like they're new. If you were like that, you wouldn't be on this phone right now. Do you know that? You're being taught on an adventure. Everybody is on the adventure, trying to get to the next adventure, trying to do the next thing. You're trying, and God has you there. Hebrews 5:12 is real. We want to keep learning. The original blueprint is something to be sought after, yearned for. How do I describe it? Once Jesus got a hold of me. What happened after Jesus finally got a hold of me by the short hair? It's a flight plan and a rocket ship. Cling to it with all your strength. All the strength he will allow you. You're gonna need it all. God, help me do what needs to be done, always. I don't want to miss any of it. Philippians 3:13, as we close, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What does it say? I know I haven't taken hold of it yet. I'm trying to hang on. But I do know this for sure. I'm straining forward. I'm trying to go forward. I'm trying to get ahead in it, to press towards the goal. What's the goal? The original blueprint for what God meant for you. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's pretty personal, isn't it? Paul gave us some good words to live by. Cool, huh? Remember this, kids. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Amen, amen, amen. Chapter 2, the original blueprint, 2024. You know, John, these people probably got to go to work.